And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Friday, April the 12th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. On April 12, 1861, the U.S. Civil War began as Confederate forces opened fire on Fort Sumter, South Carolina. Today, in 1945, President Franklin D. Roosevelt died in Warm Springs, Georgia. He was 63 years old. He was succeeded by Vice President Harry S. Truman. Today in 1955, the Salk vaccine against polio was declared safe and effective. Today in 1961, a Soviet cosmonaut, remember him, Yuri? I think that was his name. He became the first man to fly in space. He orbited the Earth once before making a safe landing. That was pretty amazing. I remember that very well. I remember where I was. I was at, for those of you who do not live near this, and many of you don't, but Rimrock Lake is a lake out of Yakima in the Cascades. And I happened to be up there at that time when I heard that on the radio about this cosmonaut circling the Earth. Man, it was today, it's, you know, it's old news, but I remember I looked up into the sky and I thought, man, how are they, you know, how can they do that? It was an amazing thing. I remember also regretting that it was a Soviet cosmonaut, not an American astronaut. But that's a different story for a different day. We certainly caught up with the space race in those days. Today, in 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. was arrested and jailed in Birmingham, Alabama. He was charged with contempt of court and parading without a permit. You probably know that during his time behind bars, King wrote his letter from Birmingham jail. Very impactful letter. Today in 1988, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office issued a patent to Harvard University for a genetically engineered mouse. This was the first time a patent had been granted for an animal life form. Today in 1992, after 5 years in the making, Euro Disneyland opened in France. French intellectuals did not like it. It was a big deal. They bemoaned the invasion of American pop culture. Well, I wonder what those intellectuals are thinking now as Disney parades off into the never, never land of transgenderism and all of the perversion that's being promoted out of the United States. Today in 2015, Hillary Clinton jumped back into presidential politics. She announced in a video her second campaign for the White House. Hillary has often said that her lifelong goal was to become president of the United States, to become the first woman president of the United States. And I've heard her say just the first, the first woman president of the United States. It'd be kind of hard to be the first president to unseat George Washington. She wants to be the first woman president. That was her lifelong goal. She so far has not realized that goal. Associated Press has an interesting headline out today. It's not only interesting, it's very concerning. The news media deals in nuances. I had an hour today. I'd like to talk to you about a couple of things that are happening today. One has to do with CBS and their disingenuous way that they quote, you know, save democracy and all of this kind of thing. But we just don't have time to get into all of it. Maybe next week we'll talk about it a little more. But I also want to talk to you about how the media, and specifically in regard to illegal immigration, how the media shades and they connect two things as though they're one when they're not. They're very different and very separate. And that's about immigration into the United States. The United States was built on immigration. You know, the only people that claim to have been here first are the Indians, the indigenous, you know, Indians in America. And yet there's science, supposedly archaeology out there that says that maybe they weren't the first ones. I mean, there's some that scientists that say maybe, you know, there was Asian influence and some coming to our West Coast rather than the East Coast and all of this. I don't know, but I just know there's a lot written about it. But I do know that there is supposed to be a difference from day one, our founding fathers to current. There's supposed to be a difference between in immigration, between illegal immigration and legal immigration. And that's biblical. I've talked at length about that on this program, what the Bible has to say about nations and sovereignty and so on. And I'll touch on that today just for a moment, but we're not going to get into that today, but I'll talk about it again in depth one of these days soon. But Associated Press came out with this headline this morning: "A Healthy U.S. Economy Secret Ingredient? ? Immigrant workers eager to fill jobs." Then they go on. It's a long article, and they put a lot into it. Feature article. They go on to explain how that illegal immigrants are now saving America from this dreadful inflationary period that we have today, like as though the inflationary period has been put upon America by somebody, by Yuri in a satellite going around the earth for the first time or whatever. I mean, if you're not careful, you just kind of fall into the cadence of what they're saying. And you go, yeah, I mean, immigrants, yeah, we all of our families came from somewhere, whether it was Asia or Africa or Europe or whatever. But I mean, except for the indigenous. But that they're talking about two things, but they're making them one. And newspapers, I promise you, across the country today will be reprinting this for tomorrow, or they'll be talking about it on local news or whatever, because it just fits. It fits the narrative that's coming from this particular administration that is, I guess they're in office. They're sitting in the office back there. I don't know what all they're doing. But here's the story. Here's how it starts. Miami, Associated Press. Having fled economic and political chaos in Venezuela, Luciana Silva now loads carpets for a South Carolina rug company. She earns enough money to pay rent, buy groceries, gas up her car, and send money home to her parents. Reaching the United States, I'm quoting Associated Press story this morning, reaching the United States was a harrowing ordeal. Silva, 25, her husband, and their then 7-year-old daughter braved the treacherous jungles of Panama's Darien Gap, traveled the length of Mexico, crossed the Rio Grande, and then turned themselves in to the U.S. Border Patrol in Brownsville, Texas. Seeking asylum, they received a work permit last year and found jobs in Rock Hill, South Carolina. My plan is to help my family that much need the money and to grow economically here, Silva says. Now, this is, what's wrong with that? That's the American story. Immigrants come to America and they make good and they help their families and so on. The press is constantly blurring the lines between legal and illegal. I'm not saying these guys got a work permit and so on. But the greater story is that they are promoting immigration, including illegal immigration, where thousands and thousands and thousands, millions of people not legally entering the United States are entering the United States with those who perhaps have. I don't know the full case on Silva and so on, but that is becoming kind of the marching orders going into November. And I'm seeing this more and more and more on various issues, but none of it less than on the immigration issue, because that has become the number one issue in America today. There's a Rasmussen put out a poll this week, or put out a report on a survey this week. They said preventing illegal immigrants from voting is very important. According to a majority of voters who agree with Elon Musk that Democrats are encouraging immigration as part of a plan to gain a permanent majority. Rasmussen said their report, their national survey, finds that 78% of likely U.S. voters believe it is important to prevent illegal immigrants from voting in American elections, including 62% who consider it very important. Only 17% disagree with that idea. What's happening? You say, well, what's the connection? Well, here's the connection. As they move these massive amounts of people in, number one, among them are people who are sick with diseases and so on, and that's not caught. I mean, they don't even know who these people are. They don't even have any contact with them for the most part, other than just passing. I mean, they're herding them like herds of cattle across the border and into the United States, and now they're packaging this, the press is packaging this, as though it's a gift. It's like the people who came across the Atlantic to the U.S., the Italians and the Germans and the French and all whatever, and like those who came from Europe and other countries on the globe legally, and they landed at Ellis Island, and some of them were held. In fact, one of my wife's one of her relatives was held on Ellis Island because he had the flu or something when he got off the boat. And they said, oh, no, you're not going. I mean, it was controlled. And of course America was built with immigrants. Of course it was. But not illegal immigrants flooding in. And in the midst of that, as I said, there's sickness. There's outbreaks now. Measles is making a comeback. And diseases that had been eradicated in America are now starting to surface. It's in the news. They were talking about it last night. I forget what part of the country, but there's been an outbreak of measles. There's other sicknesses and things that we had eradicated or pretty much eradicated are now showing up in schools and communities and so on. And there's going to be more of that because they don't know who's coming into America. They don't have any clue. And they stand there as though somebody else created it. That Mayorkas guy runs around with this moonstruck look on his face. He looks like he's trying to unravel the puzzle and figure out who created this mess. We're going to stand with the American people and we're going to solve this problem. And it's like, what? You created the problem, sir. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, that's what's happening as we speak. And the press is bundling this into a nice little package that's, of course, we need these people. That's what makes America great again. Oh, no, not Trump. It's the press. Bringing illegals into Democrat cities and states affect the census. Donald Trump. There's a little story out there today. It hasn't gotten a lot of traction yet, but I think it will if it's true. And I haven't verified this. I just saw it about, I don't know, 20 minutes ago before we came on the air live at 9 a.m. this morning, Pacific time. Donald Trump and House Speaker Mike Johnson are planning to push for a bill to ban non-citizens from voting. The opposition has said, well, they're not voting. Well, some say they are voting. But the opposition certainly doesn't want any bills that would preclude that. It's interesting that they would resist it so strongly, and they are this morning. Some studies, this piece says that just came out, suggest there is no evidence of widespread non-citizen voting, but Republicans claim illegal immigrants are coming to the country and casting ballots. With that in mind, off that as a backdrop, I don't see anybody talking about this. I'm sure they are, but they should be. Every time these planes, and Biden has flown in how many planes? I can't remember the number. I mean planes, not individuals. Plane, airplane full of immigrants, illegal immigrants. They've been saying, you're okay, jump in the plane. And they fly them in, and even from some of their own cities, they're flying them in now. And he spent a ton of money on it. They're flying them in, and I'm wondering to myself, are they targeting certain cities and certain areas that are already strongly Democrat? I'm talking about the voting population. Are they infusing these illegal aliens into these areas to increase the headcount, the census? And they do take census, and they, for purpose of district gain and so on, for the House of Representatives. So I'm wondering if they're flying these illegals into these places to increase the number of the population so that they can add more representatives to their House of Representatives in that particular state. With the redistricting and the districting expansion that will follow this census spike. Now, that is a problem. I mean, somebody with a big staff, and that's not me, but they need to look into this more and report on it. Maybe they have, but I haven't seen it. I've been looking for it. But I can promise you that's happening. I know it is, because that's the way these people roll. And I know that that's going on out there. And that's the thing that I think we should be more focused on, the people that have the authority and the power that we've elected and we pay with our taxes. They need to be looking at this, and they need to be working on it. But apparently, Donald Trump, if this is true, and like I said, everything I say on the radio here, I am personally satisfied that I've pretty well resourced it and look through it, because I don't want to be, I mean, there's a million, you know, stories out there that aren't necessarily true. But I saw this one, and I saw where it came from. It came from a group called Leading Report, and they usually are pretty accurate in what they put out. And so it may not be true, but anyway, they're saying, and I feel it's more likely that there is something in the works, and they're more right than wrong on this, if they are wrong at all. That Trump and Mike Johnson are putting together a bill that they're going to try to push that bans non-citizens from voting. And the reaction to that will be, well, they're not voting. That's illegal. We don't have voting. I think there are some that are, their names are getting on ballots or whatever. But that's a different conversation. But certainly the census, the population changes in the masses of people that are being, you know, flowing in and trucked in and on trains and so on into the nation. We don't know who they are. I mean, among them are terrorists. We're sure of that. Again, yesterday, our State Department was saying that we need to be aware that it's on high alert. I mean, they're expecting a terrorist attack, probably on a music concert like in Russia a few days ago or something similar. So, I mean, there's got to be some background for that thinking. And they were saying it again. I think the CIA or FBI, I think, was announcing it last night on some of the newscasts. So there's a lot of troubling things going on in our country today. But in the midst of that, I think there is a move to just have a dominant effect on our voting system, our so-called democracy in America. And I think that is taking place by moving massive amounts of bodies into these districts. So yes, I think there is a move to create a permanent majority among the so-called progressive left. That's part of their ideology. It's part of their belief system. It's anti-biblical. It's anti-freedom. It's anti-biblical. And that's what's most important. In Acts chapter 17, verse 22, the Bible says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that you in all things ye are too superstitious." Verse 23, Acts 17, "For I, as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made," and this is my point, I put it in context, "and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds or the boundaries of their habitation." Now, either God is favorable and supports and created the idea of national sovereignty, or the Bible is wrong. And I'm going with God created it that way, not the Bible is wrong. It is not wrong. It's inspired by God, and it is eternal. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. God's word is not. And God's word says that God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, all this will change after the coming of the Lord, and there'll be a whole new era. But right now, that's the plan, and that's God's plan. In verse 27, Paul continues speaking to the people on Mars Hill. He said, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also as your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, or stone graven by art and man's device." And he goes on to introduce them to the one and true and living God. But in the context of presenting truth to these people who are worshiping all these gods, including one that they don't know about yet, and Paul says, "Hey, by the way, I saw you have an unknown God here. I know who that is. Let me tell you about him." In that context, we have that statement about national sovereignty, nations, and boundaries. And there's a whole teaching on this in the Old Testament. I mean, it's just, it is beyond anyone making any rational case against and for globalism. You just can't make that case. So anyway, in that context, a recent survey found that most Americans are not happy with the current border crisis in the United States. That caught my attention because I thought, not happy, man, that's an understatement. They're more than not happy. They are outraged. And again, the press feeds this to the nation day after day after day, and they're saying people are not happy. That means something different than people are outraged. I think we all know that people are outraged over this illegal immigration coming in by the train loads, the car loads, the truck loads, the airplane loads. I mean, by the millions. And now our authorities are saying, well, you better be careful because we're on high alert. We think there's going to be a terrorist incident soon. And there very well may be. I mean, they know stuff we don't know, I hope. So here we are, the border deception. The Wall Street Journal picked up on this whole thing, and they said the economy has always been the top issue at the ballot box for 65-year-old Garfield Cousins. They found him, but said this year Cousins, an independent voter in an Atlanta suburb, said the sustained surge of migrants at the southern border will for the first time drive his decision in a presidential election. I think that translates he's not going to vote for Biden. But he's been voting Democrat, I think. While illegal border crossings have repeatedly set records over the past few years, the Wall Street Journal says, polls show a more recent sharp increase in the number of voters like Cousins who rank immigration as their top concern. Although the economy is very important, I see this also as an impact on the economy, Cousins said. He told the Wall Street Journal, he said the taxpayers' financial outlook is affected when cities make budget cuts to deal with the housing, the food, the health care costs associated with this influx of migrants. That's true. And Cousins isn't the only guy that has noticed that. Everybody's noticed it in America. That's why the press is working so hard to reshape the whole identity, the whole profile of this disastrous thing that Biden has put upon our country over the last 3 years, who now stands there in a kind of a blank look. And it's like, oh, we have a problem. Well, we need to solve it. I am going to focus on this. It's like he'd never heard of it before, but someone had done this to the country, and now I am going to solve this just months before the next election. The leftist media has consistently, and I really pay attention to this, has consistently taken to using the word unhappy to describe outrage. And that's how people are misled. This Iron Melman, he's a media, the Wall Street Journal went on and talked a lot about this issue. And I've written an article about this on our website today, faithandfreedom.us. And there's links to what I've been talking about the last couple of minutes. But nationally, 20% of voters rank it as their biggest concern, outpacing even bread and butter issues, Melman says, like the state and the economy or inflation. Melman says this is bad news for President Biden, as 65% of voters disapprove of his handling of the issue, and 71% believe the situation at the border is heading in the wrong direction. Well, yeah. Biden says he's examining a border shutdown. But there are those who are wise that are saying publicly he is not. He is buying time until the November election so he can get reelected and do this all over again for another 4 years. That's what this is all about. This Eddie Scarry, yeah, that's his name. He was writing for the Federalist yesterday. He said Joe Biden claims he's examining his authority to control the border. He said it's a lie. It's just trying to buy time until the election. Well, he's right. Scarry says any news outlet supposedly taking it seriously that President Biden is examining his authority to protect U.S. territory from foreign invaders is immediately identifiable as a White House accomplice to buy Biden more time before the election. That's all they're doing. He's right. Biden said in an interview, I'm quoting Scarry and the Federalist, he said in an interview this week, he's examining whether or not I have the power to prevent migrants from illegally forcing themselves across the southern border, a calamity that he is directly responsible for. Scarry says it's not enough for Biden. The section of the INA and his lawyers are reportedly looking at giving even broader authority to him, allowing for the restriction of aliens the president deems detrimental to the interest of the United States. Well, if they're detrimental to the interest of the United States, why is he flying them into all these cities around the country? As I said earlier, it's about a political agenda, not about what's best for the people. So much more to say, not time left to say it. We'll continue. This conversation will continue with our program on Monday morning. Have a great weekend. Thank you for your support. We need your financial support. Box 399, Bellevue, 98009. See you Monday.